Well, good morning, Johnson Ferry. So glad you guys decided to worship with us today. Can we just say a big thank you to all of our wonderful artists that have just done some amazing artwork this summer? And I have loved just getting to see the different art that has been just produced over the summer with this series, and excited to wrap up this series today with the story of the two lost sons. Now, you know, there's people in your life that you don't see for a while, and then, you know, when you see them again, it's like one of the best thing ever. Y'all know those feelings? You know, in our lives, there are people that we see or we don't see for a season. There are other people we don't see for a reason. Amen? We're like, bro, I don't want to see you. I don't like you. There are people that we don't see for a season, maybe some for a reason. But I will say, you know, one of the best things is, and when you haven't seen that family member that you really love, and you see them maybe once a year on Christmas, and it's like a reunion. It's just a special moment. And it reminds me of, even in my own life, when I graduated from high school 12 years ago, which means I'm old, okay? 12 years ago, I had my 10-year reunion two years ago. Didn't go because those things are terrible, okay? All the old people in the room, you know, they're terrible. Never want to go to your high school reunion. So I didn't go. But 12 years ago, I graduated from a high school in Middle Georgia, and graduated on a Friday night, packed my bags that night, and I loaded up my newly found Honda Civic, and the next morning woke up and I drove to Atlanta, and I moved into a family's house right here down the road off Little Willio. And the next day I started here as an intern at Johns Ferry working at this church. But just by the way, like, I think my parents are crazy for letting me move the day after graduation. But they did, and it worked out, so they haven't been able to get rid of me here. So it's been great. And I've just loved working here over the years. But I remember, like, when I left, it was weird because, you know, I'd grown up my whole life being at home, and now I'm away, and I have choices to make. I can live my life how I want to live. I can do what I want to do. And I was working at the church, and every weekend would come, and I would make decisions on, you know, do I want to go home and visit my family, or do I want to stay here and, you know, get to know people? Because when I came here, like, I knew one person. His name's Brian Hansen. He's our global pastor here. My dad was his youth minister. That's the only person I knew. So I had a choice. Like, do I want to get connected to this church, or do I want to go home? And I had chosen a few weeks in a row, like, I'm not going home. I'm going to stay up here. I'm going to meet people. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. But I remember when I decided that I was going to load up my Honda Civic, which, growing up where I grew up, like, everybody drives a truck, and I drove a truck. It was terrible and humiliating to sell my truck for a Honda Civic. And if you drive a Honda Civic, I apologize. They're great cars. But I loaded up my Civic, and I went down to see my family. And, man, when I pulled in the driveway, it was like the best day ever. Man, we had a party. It was great. My brother was there. My sister was there. My mom was there. My dad gave me a bear hug. We ate. We laughed. We had an amazing time, and it was like I never left. And I tell you that story today because in our lives, we all have choices of how we're going to live. We have choices of how we're going to live, what we're going to do, and who we're going to live for. And today, we're going to look at a story of two sons, two lost sons who are making choices of how they want to live their life. And sadly, they have different outcomes. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to just to hold them up in the air. We do this in the student ministry. We love to see all those paper Bibles in the room. So hold them up. Let me see it. Awesome. And then throw it in your lap gently because it's God's word. And open it up to Luke chapter 15. And if you're new to the Bible, you can look up here. Luke is towards the back of your Bible in what we call the New Testament. And Luke, the book of Luke is after the book of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and before the book of John. So Luke chapter 15. Before we read this, I just want you to know that, man, we've had a great morning. We've seen God do some powerful things, and even in the last service, we saw many people who walked into this room dead and walked out of this room alive and surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. And I believe that maybe there are some of you here today that when we read these stories of the two lost sons, you're going to realize that you're one of the lost sons and God is calling you home, that he's calling you home, and that you may have walked in here dead, but you're going to walk out of here alive as a son or a daughter of your father. So, as promised, Luke chapter 15, you guys stand up with me as we read God's word in honor of his word. We're going to read verse 32 together. And it was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. We have a great story that God wants to teach us this morning. What I want you to do right now is I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to ask and pray and ask God to open your eyes and your heart as you read and study his word this morning. Take a minute to be with you and God. Father, as we study this wonderful story today, I pray that you would reveal to us who we are. God, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to the ways that we're rebelling against you. And maybe some of the room today are rebels and some are religious. But God, I pray that we would be reminded of the heart of a father, that your heart is for all of his sons and daughters to come home, to be with him forever and enjoy him forever. So God, we're asking for you to do what only you can do. We're asking for miracles. We're asking you to open our hearts, open our eyes to seeing who we are and how desperately we are in need of you. So God, give those courage today that need to surrender their lives to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Now, in Luke chapter 15, there's a moment. Jesus has been really growing his ministry. He's been teaching. He's been healing. He's been doing some really miraculous things. He's been spending time with the Pharisees. There's moments when he calls out the Pharisees for things that they're doing that's wrong. There's been moments that he speaks kindly to the Pharisees and calls them to repent. There's been moments where he's healed sick people and he's eaten dinner at sinners and tax collectors' houses. And there's this one moment in chapter 15 at the beginning where all the tax collectors and the sinners were drawing near to Jesus. They were wanting to be close to him because they knew he had something that their heart really longed for. And as they're coming towards him, the Pharisees and the scribes are also there, and they get angry. And look at what they say in verse 2. It says this, the Pharisees and the scribes, they grumbled. They're angry, they grumbled and said, this man receives sinners. He eats with them. This Jesus guy, he's wanting to be around all the sinners, the terrible people. What's wrong with him? Why is he doing that? And Jesus, because he knows the hearts of man, he knows what they're struggling with. He begins to tell a series of stories, three in fact. And the first two we're not looking at today, but the third story is the one we're looking at. It's the story of the two lost sons, which we often know as the story of what we would call the prodigal son, but there's actually two lost sons in this story. And look at it in verse 11 with me. Let's read this together. And it says this, and he, Jesus, said, now there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, father, give me the share of the property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. Now you can set the scene here for this story. Jesus begins to say, hey, there's two sons. There's this younger son, which we would call the rebel. And this rebel son, he goes to his father and he says, look, I wanna live how I wanna live. I wanna do what I wanna do. I wanna live life on my own. I am tired of living your way and I wanna live my way. So father, I want you to give me my inheritance. Now this is important because inheritances you get after your father dies, right? But now he's saying, look, I want it early because I'm tired of living your way. I wanna live my way. I wanna be free to do what I wanna do. So give me my money so I can go out and live my life. And here's the deal. With the rebel heart, the life of a rebel, the younger son is the rebel. And his problem is he thinks his way of living is best. And he wants to go and live his own way. He wants to be in control. He wants to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And he And the Lord, or the Father, actually gives him what his heart desires. Now, there are many of you here today, and you're a rebel. Man, you are living your life how you want to. You're not living in submission to your Father. You are living how you want to live. You are wanting to be in charge. You are calling the shots. You are living in rebellion, just like the rebel. And the Father gives him what he asks for. Now, what's crazy is the Father gives him what he asked for, and then he goes out. He goes out, and he thinks he's living the high life. Man, he's living a reckless life. It's most likely he's spending it on prostitutes, on gambling. He is living it up. The rebellious son thinks he's made it. And then guess what? He runs out of money. And as he's running out of money, he realizes, well, this is a problem because I need money to live. I need money to eat. So the only thing he knows what to do is just to go find a job. I'm gonna go make some more money. I'm gonna go find a job. And the only person that's gonna hire him is someone who's gonna let him feed the pigs. And all of a sudden, a young man who thought he had everything, girls, money, happiness, joy, finds himself longing for what the pigs ate. And here's the truth you need to know this morning. The life of a rebel, you think you know what's best. You think the life that you're choosing to live and be in charge of and pursue is actually gonna bring you happiness, it's gonna bring you joy, it's gonna bring you everything that your heart ever longed for. But in reality, what this story is teaching us is that that life brings you nothing. It leaves you empty, hopeless, and hungry for something more. I'm telling you, as a pastor of this church, I've had so many conversations with men and with women who have lived their life trying to make money, trying to get the next thing, trying to have all that their heart ever dreamed of. And what they would tell you is, it's not the answer. So the life you think that you're choosing to live is never going to fulfill you outside of a life with your Father. And here's the deal. The Father lets him do it. The Father, God, may let you chase what your heart really wants so that you may discover that he is what you really need. The Father may allow you to chase what you want in your life so that you discover that your heart is really in need of him. The rebel son, many of you are living life your way, and you need to realize that the life you think is gonna bring you happiness, joy, peace, is gonna leave you empty, it's gonna leave you broken, and it's gonna leave you hungry for something more, for something deeper. Some of you feel that right now. Some of you are in the pursuit and you haven't discovered it yet. And this younger son, the rebel, he has this moment. Let's look at it in verse 17. It says this, but when he came to himself, man, that's a powerful, powerful moment. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? So he even gets it right here in this moment. He says, look, how much more do my father's servants have than I have? I'm hungering for the pig slop, the gross stuff, but I know my father has so much more for me. The life of a rebel thinks that his way is best. But reality is that life in submission to your Father is the best place to be. So the question that I really want you to wrestle with this morning is, in the life of a rebel, which many of you are, will you choose rebellion or will you choose submission? Will you choose to continue to live life your own way as your own king, being in charge, doing what you want to do, living the life that you think is going to bring you happiness? Or are you going to say, enough is enough, I'm tired of living that way, it's leaving me empty, it's leaving me broken, and I am going to submit my life and say, God, I want to follow you no matter what it costs me. The life of a rebel. He comes to this realization. He knows the life he has with his father is so much better than the life he thought that he wanted. And he says this in verse 18, I will arise. I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly, get the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he is found. And they began to celebrate. Man, what an amazing story. The life the younger son, the rebel, thought he was living was bringing him empty and just hopeless. He comes to this realization. He goes, you know what? What I'm going to do is I realize the life that my father has for me is better than anything else this world could ever offer me. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and I'm going to confess and I'm going to call out to him and say, look, Father, I have sinned against you. I've sinned against you. I don't even deserve to be your son. Please just treat me. Treat me like a servant, like one of your hired servants. And so he gets up and he goes and he runs to his father. And after a long way off, the father sees him. He sees him coming. And the father runs out to meet him. And you get the idea here. In this moment, father, son, rebel, loving father. He probably falls on his knees at some point, but all he knows to do is to start his speech that he planned. He planned to say it. He goes, look, Father, I have sinned before heaven and before you. I don't even deserve to be treated as your son. And before he could even finish the rest of his speech, the father steps in and stops him and says, look, get him the best robe. Servants, get him the best robe. Get him a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. Let's kill the fattened calf. Let's celebrate because my son is now home. Here's the deal. Many of you are running from God. You're running from God. And if you realize that the life that he's offering you is so much better and you come to him and you confess and you call out and say, Father, I have sinned and I need you to save me. If you confess and you do that, then he will change your life. He will welcome you home. And that's what the father does. The father welcomes you home. If you're taking notes, write that down. The father welcomes you home. Many of you are living in rebellion. You're the younger son. But if you come to him, you cry out to him, you confess your sin, you confess the ways that you're falling short, he will embrace you. He will look on you with compassion. He will love you. He will celebrate you. I mean, this is an amazing story. This younger son, the rebel, chooses to walk away. He comes back. He repents. He cries out. The father, man, in compassion and love, forgives him and throws a party. Why? Because his son was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he is found. There are many of you here today that you're walking in this room dead. You're going to walk out of here alive because your father in this moment is reminding you that you are living in rebellion and he is calling you to come home. To come home, to confess to him. And if you confess to him, he will invite you in to the celebration. I mean, I love this. Even in the other stories, it says in the story right before this about the parable of the lost coin, that even if one sinner repents, there is a party happening with the angels in the heavens. So those of you here today that you're living in rebellion, you trust in Jesus, you confess, and you make him the king and the Lord of your life, there will be a party happening with the angels in the heavens over the decision you made to surrender your life to Jesus, and that's amazing, amen? I mean, come on. It doesn't get any better than that. The father kills the fattened calf. He forgives him and he throws a party. Why? Because his son, the rebellious one, he's come home. He was lost and now he's found. Will you choose rebellion or will you choose submission? That's not the end of the story. We've got the other son that we need to look at. Verse 25, it says, now his older son was in the field. And as he came, he drew near to the house and he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, what do these things mean? And he said to him, your brother, he's come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound. but he was angry. He refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father. He said, look, these many years I've served you, I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you've never given me a young goat that I might even celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, came home, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and he's found. The older son is what I call the religious son. Man, he's the one who's been working in the fields. In fact, in the story, he's working in the fields. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's following the rules. He's living his life by the rules. He's the religious son. And all of a sudden, he hears the commotion. He hears the party. And he's wondering to himself, what's going on? And he asks one of the servants, hey, what's happening? Why are we celebrating? Why are we dancing? He says, your brother, he came home. And in that moment, when he should have been filled with excitement and joy that his brother has now come home and now there's a party, he's filled with anger, with rage. He's filled with anger, and he refuses to go in. The younger son realized he was in need, realized he was rebelling. He made a choice to come home. The older son gets angry and refuses to come in. And the beautiful part of this story is the father, the loving, compassionate father, comes out. And he tries to convince him. The word says he entreats him. He's like, come inside. And look at what the older brother says. The older brother's like, look, this son of yours, which by the way, it's his brother. He's so angry, he can't even call him his brother. He's like, look, this son of yours, man, he's wasted all your money. I've done everything right. I've followed the rules. I've lived here. I've served you. I've never disobeyed you, which, by the way, is a lie, and he's disobeyed, right? He's never perfectly followed every single commandment, but he feels like he has. And here's the danger, y'all. Here's the danger of the religious person. The danger of the religious person is if you are not careful, you will develop what I call religious pride, where you will begin to see yourself as better than you really are and everyone else is worse than they seem. You'll begin to think that I am following all the rules, and because of that, I'm good, I feel good, I've got no issues, I don't need God because I'm working my way into heaven. The religious person develops a sense of pride that they're better than they really are. And if you get to a moment when you don't feel bad about your sin, watch out. Watch out. Because all sin in your life, every single person here has sin in their lives, and it separates you from God, and every single sin you commit should break your heart. But the religious person who follows the rules, does the right things, it can develop this sense of pride in your life that you're better than you really are when you're really just as rebellious as the other son. Many of you here are trying to follow the rules. You're trying to earn your way into heaven. You're trying to prove your love for God, and it will never be enough. And you will deceive yourself that you're closer to the Father than you really are. Because here's the deal. This son, he was with the Father the whole time. He was close to him physically, but very far from him spiritually. And what that tells me is, it is possible to praise God with your lips. It's possible to show up to church. It's possible to be a religious person and be so far away from God. It's possible that everything on the outside looks good, but on the inside, your heart is not towards God. It's not living in submission to God. See, here's the difference between the younger son and the older son. The younger son realizes that he's in sin, that he has messed up badly, and he goes to his father and cries out and asks for forgiveness. The older son, everything looks good on the outside, and he believes he's better than he really is. He does everything right, but his heart is calloused and far away from his father, and it's convinced him that he is better than he really is when he's just as sinful as the rebellious son. The religious person is just as lost as the other son. So the question is for us here today, that many of you are choosing that way of living, will you choose religion or will you choose relationship? Will you choose religion or will you choose relationship? I had a conversation with someone yesterday. I was sharing the gospel with her at a restaurant. And man, I asked her, you know, if she had a faith story, and she said no. And man, she was all about religion. And she said that. She's like, I said, you know, I don't actually believe in religion. I believe in relationship. Like, God wants a relationship with me. And she just said, I just feel like I've got to earn my way into heaven. And how tragic that we feel like we can earn our way into heaven by doing good things, and that by doing good things that our God will love us anymore. And the tragic thing is, the younger son is partying because he was lost and now he is found. And while the party's happening with the father and the son and all the servants, the older brother, he's missing out. He's not celebrating, he's angry, he's prideful, and he's missing out on the party. And I love what the picture of the father here, and this is really like, this story is so much about the heart of a father, a loving, compassionate, forgiving father who loves both sons. Because when he saw the younger son coming back, man, he was waiting expectantly. Which, by the way, I know there are many of you here who have prodigals in your life. Maybe it's your kid that's a prodigal, or you're a family member or a friend or a sibling or a coworker, whatever it is, you know they're living in a way that's not godly. And you just need to be reminded that your father is waiting for them. And at some point, they may come home. And you have focused so much on their sin and all their junk that you've forgotten the heart of a father, that he longs to be with them and he has the power to call them home. You just need to be reminded of that. Your father loves them more than you do. And so sometimes if we have prodigals in our life, stop focusing so much on their sin, because it will blind you and it will deceive you into believing that they'll never come home, when we serve a God who has the power to change anybody's life. Amen? You need to be reminded of that. The father sees him waiting expectantly and welcomes him home, embraces him. But even the beautiful part of this is that even with the older son, the heart of a father is that the father invites you in. The father invites him in. He goes out. He goes out with his brother. He leaves the party to go out and talk to the older brother. And it says he entreats him. It's his way of saying, come in, man. Come in, come celebrate. Come join the party. But the older brother, in his pride, is unwilling to see his need for his father. His pride has blinded him and made him believe that he's better than he really is. And the heart of a father is that both of his sons would be with him. And even just, man, after the son just chastises the father, he's like, look at what you've done. You're not celebrating me. The father still calls him a son. He still calls him his son. The heart of a father is that he wants the rebellious son to come home, but he also wants the religious son to come home. And there are many of you here today, God is calling and stirring on your heart to come home, to join the celebration, to surrender your life to him. Many of you have been living in rebellion, and he's calling you to live in submission, to stop living your way and to start living his way. Many of you are trying to live life by following the rules and doing all the right things. And what your father is saying is, it's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about having a relationship with the father. And though on the outside you think everything looks good and everybody in this room knows you and you are close to God, when in reality, your heart is really far away from him, because you've made it more about your performance than about a relationship with him. And the heart of a father is the same. The heart of the father, he wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you to be with him. He welcomes you home. He invites you in. And if you surrender your life to him, there's going to be a party happening in the heavens. A party celebrating, the angels singing and declaring that the brother is lost, but now he's found. He was dead, and now he's been made alive. That's the beautiful part of this story. That's the beautiful part of of God's story, that the gospel is for all people. It's for every single person on the planet, whether you live in Africa, India, the United States, wherever you live, even in East Cobb, God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. And you are either choosing to be a rebel or to be religious, but it's not about either of those. It's about submitting your life to him, making him your king. And when you do that, he will invite you into his family. He will welcome you home forever, where you can enjoy his love, his mercy, his grace, where every single day of your life, you can wake up and talk to him. You can walk with him. You can experience him in ways that only believers can. You can read his word every single day of your life and expect him to speak to you. You can go on a dog or walk with your dogs during the day, and you can expect him to convict you, to comfort you. You can talk to him. You can bring anything that you're struggling with in your life to him, and he will listen. That is the heart of a father. He loves his kids. He's a good dad. And I know when we read stories like this, man, it may be hard to talk about fathers, because maybe some of you here, man, you had an earthly father that wasn't very good. That wasn't very loving. Maybe hurt you or abused you, or maybe they were physically present but emotionally distant. Maybe you don't even know who your father is, or maybe your father has passed away recently. And what I love about this story is though your earthly father may have failed you, and they will, your heavenly father, he never will. He never will. When you confess and you realize your need for him, you call out to him, he will give you love, compassion, joy, peace. He will give you life and life in abundance. That's what your father offers you. So today, as we wrap up this story, what I want us to do in this moment is just to bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to give you a moment just to examine your life and where you are with him. Most of you, maybe you've realized in this sermon that you're the rebellious son, and the Father is calling you to come home. Maybe you're the religious son, and the Father is asking you to stop trying to earn your way into heaven, but surrender to him and have a relationship with him. Take a minute, discern which one that you may be. I want to say, with head bowed and eyes closed, man, if you're here today and you know you're the rebellious son or you're the religious son and you just need to come home, you need to surrender your life to Christ, would you just raise your hand in the air? I see your hands. Yeah, I see you. You can just hold them high. There's no shame. Yeah, I see your hand right there in the middle. I see you. Yeah, I see you. I see you all the way in the back. All the way in the back, I see you. If you have your hand raised, I want you just to look at me real quick. Just look at me. There's no shame. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything. I see you all the way in the back. This is the best decision you've ever made in your whole life. A father who loves you is calling you to surrender your life to him. And what I want you to do right now in this moment is do what the younger son did. I want you to pray and confess and tell him all the ways that you've fallen short and tell him that you want a relationship with him. I want you to pray that right now to him in your heart. You do that. And the rest of you who are made decisions for Christ, I want you to pray for your brothers and sisters all across this room who are praying that right now. Pray for them in this holy moment. Jesus, I thank you for the courage of many folks in this room who realize that they're a rebel or religious and they need to surrender their lives to you. And God, I thank you for giving them the courage and honestly opening their eyes and their heart through the power of the Spirit. Father, I pray that you would set them on a new course, set them on a new journey of what it means to follow Jesus. God, and even for those of us in the room that are found that we have a relationship with you, that God, today we would be reminded of the great love of our Father. That at one point in our lives, we were the rebellious, we were the religious, and now we have a relationship with you and we can enjoy you forever. So Father, we thank you for dead people in this room becoming alive in you. We thank you that at once we were lost, but now we are found. God, and we join the angels in the heavens celebrating that lost people are coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for all you're doing in our lives and our church. We praise you and we pray all these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Now, a part of this story, the two brothers, I think what's cool about this story is there's a party. And I mentioned it earlier in Luke 15:10, that it says that even if just one sinner repents, that there's a party happening with the angels in the heavens. And all across the room this morning, we had people raising their hands saying, look, I'm not living for God. I'm living in either rebellion or religion, and I need to come home. And in that moment, as they prayed and confessed to their Father in heaven, when they confessed and they repented, there was a party happening in the angels. Amen? I mean, come on. A party happening with the angels in the heavens. And we join in with them in celebration. And we're going to take the Lord's Supper today. Our deacons are about to come forward and get into position. And what's cool is that there were people here today that came in lost, but they're going to take the Lord's Supper today as a Christian, their first time ever as a follower of Jesus. What a special moment. And for the rest of us, though we are, most of us have a relationship with the Lord, we take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Jesus and what he's done on the cross for us. I want to read you this scripture in Corinthians because I think it just perfectly encapsulates what this is all about. It says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup after saying, 'This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death as he comes.'" In the church, we have two ordinances. We have baptism, we have the Lord's Supper. And today we get to celebrate in taking the Lord's Supper with new believers and believers that have been following Jesus for a long time. But we take this as a remembrance of Jesus' body being broken for us on the cross and his blood being poured out for the forgiveness of sins, that we can be welcomed into his family forever. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to pass these out in just a minute. I'm going to give you a chance to just be with the Lord. If you need to confess sin, you confess sin before taking this. This is a holy moment. If you need to, you know, pray and really get right with a brother or sister that you have issues with, I would encourage you to, in your heart, pray through that. This is a moment for you to remember Jesus and his love for you by dying on the cross for you in your place. And the Lord's Supper is for believers. So if you're not a believer and you're living in rebellion or living in religion, we would just ask that you would not partake in the Lord's Supper this morning. This is for God's people in God's house. So the deacons are about to pass out the elements. We're going to give you space to be with the Lord, and you take the elements when you are ready, okay? And I'll just remind you too, there's two cups. One has the bread and one has the grape juice. Almost said the wine. We don't do that here. So you take the elements when you're ready, and you take this moment to be with the Lord's. Deacons, you can go ahead and pass out the elements.